Thanks for tuning in to the SevCell Show. I am your host, Seven Murdoch, exposing the good, the bad, and the ugly in all things real estate right here at KPPF Saturdays at 10 a.m. You can listen in at 95.7 FM, 98.5 FM, and 1040 AM. Today, we are here starting it off, kicking it off again with our preferred lender, Chris Frankmont with Guaranteed Rate. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Sev. Thanks for having me.
Yes, yes. Thank you for coming on to the show again. So today I wanted to chat with you about a handful of things. I mean, particularly three segments. But the first is going to be our starter segment, which is competing with a new home builder. How do you do that? Let's say you're looking to sell your property and you are in a new construction development and the builder is still building in your neighborhood, or maybe not. Maybe they're building in a neighborhood that's right across the street from your neighborhood or within a 5 minutes distance from your neighborhood. How do you compete with them? Okay. And so we can take this from a real estate standpoint and a lending standpoint, which I'm excited to dive into with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think if you want to tell us a little bit about, from a real estate perspective, how that looks, and then we can talk about new build lenders, how a lot of those work, and some of the advantages and disadvantages to using them or using a local lender like us.
Well, I'm going to start out with a lending standpoint, okay? Because Perfect. On the lending standpoint, every new construction developer is going to offer you quote-unquote incentives, all right? So maybe you get a free refrigerator, or maybe you get, you know, $500 towards your lawn that the HOA requires you to have before 6 months of ownership of the property, or whatever that might be, right? And they want you to work with their preferred lender, which in my experience, I can never get a hold of these guys. They're not overly available or willing to work. So that's problem number one. But problem number two is I have found through, you know, doing several of these transactions that those incentives aren't necessarily incentives because they end up costing you like 10x what you think you're saving. Is that fair?
Yeah. So really what happens is a lot of these builders now have gone and opened their own lending companies. You know, back even just 5 years
That's
ago,
so true.
Incentives were yeah. pretty real, where there was even my team had relationships with certain builders that we made loans easy. We closed fast. They know we'd always close. They knew our pre-approvals were good. So they would give incentives for people to work with us because they knew it was going to make their life really easy. And they knew that sale was done. So there used to be value there with these preferred lenders. But slowly over the last couple of years, more and more builders, it's, you know, good old greed. They want to have as much of the pie as they can.
Why not take everything?
They might as well, right? Might as well. So they're going and opening their own lending companies. And
you end up signing 20 affiliated business disclosures.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of affiliated business disclosures. It's, seriously, it's you're working with all their people.
Yeah, but there you go.
But these lending companies, one of the big problems is exactly what you alluded to is quality. So in general, being a good loan officer, being a good loan officer is very competitive. There's a lot of loan officers in town, and I think there's a few things that separate the good from the bad. It's a complex industry with a lot of guidelines.
What are they?
So I think that's one of the biggest ones is knowledge about guidelines and programs. There's so many little gotchas. There's so many evolving guidelines. It's really easy for lenders, even good lenders, but especially not good ones, to think somebody qualifies when they actually don't. That's an issue.
Kind of goes back to 2008. Oh, I made $1 million this year.
Well, back then, everyone just qualified. So it made life really, really easy. But a lot of those guys.
But that's the difference between a pre-qual and a pre-approval.
Right, actually
right?
doing your due diligence. Yes. Absolutely. And so with these new build lenders, there's a big quality issue because a lot of the, so a good lender that knows their stuff, they can make relationships, they can generate business. They don't need to go be a new build lender that just gets handed business on a silver platter. A lot of the lenders that need to do that, you know, they're getting compensated a lot less, but they're going to a place where they can just get handed loans. So a lot of these guys don't know what they're doing, and they're getting practice reps on your new build buyers.
You're getting put on the phone with someone that's just someone to talk
right,
to.
Absolutely. Someone that maybe is spread too thin with a bunch of new build deals or just someone to make you feel better, and they don't really know what they're doing. And so it's just so common. I'm sure you've had them yourself, Sev, where these new build lenders say they're good to go, and a week before closing, I mean, I've heard recently, a day before closing, it falls out and they can't close, and everyone's pissed off and frustrated. And we're seeing more and more with new build lenders. So quality is a big issue. The other one is what you alluded to with with the incentives. So the incentives,
like how much do the incentives actually cost versus save you? Getting?
And so what we see with a lot of these incentives is, yes, they are offering incentive, but it's a whole lot less than you realize. So maybe they're giving you $5,000 towards your closing costs
and you're like, woo, you're so excited.
Oh, it's going to cover everything until you see that their rate with no discount charges is 0.5% higher than a local lender. Or
so what's a discount charge?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that also a point?
Is paying for a lower rate.
Is discount and point the same thing?
Discount point, same thing.
So a point is 1%, right?
Yep.
Okay.
That's how it's normally referred to.
For those of you who do not know.
And so if you look at, okay, what would be the charge to be at a normal interest rate, a rate that everyone else is at? That charge usually ends up being pretty close to the incentive. So maybe they're giving you $5,000, but if you want to actually be at a competitive rate, you got to pay $3,500 in discount points. So you're really only getting about, you know, $1,500 back. And that's a pretty
And the discount points are closing costs.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And so when you actually compare apples to apples with other lenders, lots of times this big
incentive. That's why you're guaranteed rate.
Yeah, because we've got the low rates, right? But a lot of times this big incentive they advertise is a whole lot smaller. And then when you really weigh it, is it worth $1,000 to really be unsure, to not know if I'm going to close, to not understand the process, to not know what I'm doing, and to work with a rookie, or to have an expert that's guiding me, advising me, taking care of me, and that's going to look out for me.
That's going to answer your phone call whenever you call help you explore every option, not what is the most lucrative to them. Right?
That's a great point, Sev. A lot of lenders, especially these days, you know, they got into the industry because rates were low. It seemed easy. Right? And they just see one box for people. They stick them in the first box they think makes sense. And there's actually a lot of other options that even though these newer lenders don't understand or realize, and people are not getting the best service because they're not even understanding what options they have.
And kind of going off from what you said, you know, the builder is opening up their own lending institutions, right?
Yep.
They want to make as much money as possible,
yep,
right?
Absolutely.
Are they actually quoting you something that is going to make you as much money as possible, right? So, I mean, whether you choose to call a guaranteed rate or not, call Chris or not, okay? By the way, if you're going to call Chris, his phone number is
719-337-3021. We always love putting a second set of eyes on stuff. You know, there's times where we get a call from someone and we say, hey, that's actually a really good deal. With that, with the incentive and everything, you're saving $3,000, $4,000 from what you'd be with us. We're going to tell you to stick with them. Our goal is to be advisors, to push people towards that. I'll tell you, it was really cool. Our goal is just add value.
That's the benefit of working with someone that produces at a top percentile, whether it be a realtor or a lender or whatever, right?
Absolutely.
You don't need that next client to make your mortgage payment.
Absolutely. There's a lot of lenders.
You just want them to be good.
It's so true. So when I was new and doing 2-3 loans a month, you fought badly for every single one and you tried to fit people in your box, and as much as you didn't want to, you needed it. And
I know. We started out together.
Right.
we were fighting together.
A lot of loans. You're right. We don't need that one loan. We can see the bigger picture, step back and add value now so that people are going to trust us and come back when they need that advice. And that's always our goal. Good, honest advice. And again, sometimes we say the new build lender is a good deal. Stick with them and cost a refi in 6 or 12 months. Yeah. But other times it's not, especially on VA loans. Lots of times we can beat those lenders without having to.
Absolutely. Well, you guys, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here from the Sev Sells Show. I am your host, Sevin Murdoch, with Chris Frankmont, Guaranteed Rate. And we will be right back right after this short message. Thanks for tuning in to the Sev Sells Show. I am your host, Sevin Murdoch, exposing the good, the bad, and the ugly in all things real estate with our sponsor, Chris Frankmont at Guaranteed Rate. And today we're going to go ahead and expose the market update for you guys, because there is a lot for you guys to know, okay? And since real estate comprises nearly half of our nation's wealth, this is a very important topic for us to go ahead and touch on. Chris, what do you have for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Sev. So Sev's obviously our expert in the real estate market. I like talking about loans, numbers, all those boring things. Let's just talk a little bit about...
But they're exciting,
they
right?
They're exciting for me.
Because they contribute to everyone, whether you're a renter or a homeowner or an investor, like it is applicable.
Absolutely. It's very exciting. Like you said, it's a huge way to create wealth. It's been huge for me and my family. I know for yourself as well. And so, absolutely. It definitely all ties together and all relates. So looking at the market right now, we're kind of in an interesting place. We talked on a previous market update about when COVID started and how the Fed was buying up a lot of mortgage-backed securities, and that's what helped push rates so low. That's also what's helped keep rates so low. So several times at the beginning of COVID, we saw...
Wait, what helped keep rates so low?
The Federal Reserve continuing to buy mortgage-backed securities.
Oh, not print money.
Correct.
Not print free money.
Okay, that's, yeah,
I just wanted to clarify.
For sure. No, them,
so
they're actually
it was
buying,
them buying the mortgage-backed
printing
securities,
money to
not
buy the securities.
Them
no,
printing 40% of our USD in a year. Okay, I just
no,
wanted
yeah,
to clarify
that's a topic for
that.
Another day. No, so them buying mortgage-backed securities is what's helped keep rates so low over the last 18 months. There was a few times shortly after COVID where rates actually tried to spike back up. We saw rates rise over 0.5% in 24 hours at one point.
Oh my gosh.
By far the craziest thing any of us in the industry have seen.
How long did that last though?
It spiked up for about a week and then came back down.
Because then they were like, oh my gosh, the market's going to crash.
Well, really, it came down to the Fed saying, we don't want rates to shoot up like that. And so they started buying more and more of these mortgage-backed securities.
But why wouldn't they want rates to shoot up like that?
Yeah, they were trying to stimulate the economy, keep rates low, keep things moving.
So have we just been stimulating the economy
so
for the past
year? Now that we're so
year?
Stimulated, the Fed is talking about finally...
Stimulate us more, Chris.
Well, they're talking about stimulating us less, actually. They're talking about tapering off buying these mortgage-backed securities. They've been hinting at this for a while. The crazy
so if
thing
they're is, not buying them, who does?
So there's other investors, there's other money that buys them, but the Fed right now has been pumping something crazy like $60 billion a month into buying.
Well, it's because they
securities.
Can print it.
It might
I mean,
be even
man,
more than
I
that.
Print $60 yeah. billion dollars.
Don't
if
quote
I could.
Me on that number. It might be even more. But as they start to taper those buys, it is going to cause rates to go up. There's going to be less demand for those mortgage-backed securities, and so rates are going to increase. They've been hinting at this happening for a little while. That's actually why we've seen rates slowly start to creep up. We're about 0.5% higher than our lowest
right.
point that we've hit a few times. And the
but
expectation,
even though we're increasing, it still isn't bad.
For sure.
Oh
I mean, don't get
gosh.
Me wrong. Rates are higher. They're still
crazy. I mean, when I started real estate, interest rates today, and as well as what they're projected to be, still better than the rates where I started.
No, you're exactly right, Sav. I mean, there was in late 2018 going into 2019, I mean, rates really started creeping up. We were getting up high, mid to high fours in conventional and high threes to low fours in VA, and rates are still sitting at almost half that. Not quite, but
okay, so
half.
For normal people who don't understand all of this stuff, VA usually gets like the best rate.
Yeah, so VA, okay. VA and FHA are both
government-insured
loans. Exactly. Yep. They're bought in a different secondary market. I'm not going to bore
so
everyone.
So the interest rates
details,
usually a little better
yes,
than conventional.
Interest rates are a little bit lower than conventional.
On that private market.
Yeah.
This isn't healthcare, all right? This is mortgages.
Yeah, so the Jenny May market,
Jenny May, Freddie Mac.
Yeah, there's Freddie Mac,
Fannie Mae,
and there's Jenny May. Fannie and Freddie buy
they all have
conventional
such beautiful
loans,
names.
Right, these quasi-government agencies that buy loans in the secondary market. And so they, Freddie and Fannie buy conventional loans. Jenny buys government-backed loans, FHA and VA. And so that Jenny market's a little bit different. Yes, it does create lower interest rates. But to your point, yes, rates right now are lower than they'd ever been in history 2 years ago. They are still phenomenally low, but we're expecting
but not last
rise.
Year.
Correct. 2 years
ago. We're kind of neck and neck, like with a teeter.
We're neck and neck with the beginning of COVID and a few times throughout the process. We're not at the lowest point, but we are still really low, like I said, lower than we'd ever been pre-COVID. So rates
right.
are still really low. But what you're saying
so
is...
So if you want to get low, call Chris.
That's right. If you want to get low, call me. I love it. I'm going to start using that for marketing for sure.
There you go.
But the Fed is saying they're going to start tapering off these buys as early as December. We're expecting in their November meeting on November 3rd to announce.
So if you're looking to buy and
you
want the best interest rate, like yeah. jump on it.
You better get
right?
on it. Absolutely. Because again, there's smart people on both sides of the both sides. They both make great points, but in general, the consensus is that rates are going to slowly start rising here over the next
and quite honestly, years. Like to keep the equilibrium in our economic growth and status and well-being, we can't keep printing free money. And
yeah, you're exactly right, Seb. I mean, rates rising are actually a good indication that our economy is getting back on track. They stay this low or go lower. Everyone was refining.
I love that you
said
that, right? Because people look at rates rising and they're like, oh no, things are going south.
Yeah, no,
this
it's
is
a good
not
thing.
Good. It, yes, it
absolutely.
Is. It is.
No, it means the economy is getting back on track. People, when they were refined in the mid twos, would ask me, what do you think they're going to drop more? And I said, if they do, we've got a big problem. If rates are dropping lower than
right.
this, we're already, for a little while there, we were lower than inflation. I mean, that was kind of crazy. That literally is free
yeah.
money.
When
the inflation figure came out at 4% and we were doing VA loans in the low twos, I mean, that was crazy. So absolutely, the rates rise is not the worst thing, but it does mean you're going to have less buying power. Your payments are going to be higher. So if you have been thinking about buying or refinancing, it's a great time. Yep. And it's all that extra money is just going to be going towards interest. Exactly right.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you do want to buy, buy today.
Yeah, I should probably give you a call, Seth. Absolutely.
Or maybe I should give you a call because I'm trying to buy another one today.
Oh, absolutely. So. Let's chat after the show.
All right. Sounds good. I mean, I might have to shop around lenders because you always should.
I encourage it.
Guaranteed rate. I'm not going to lie. I always shop around. Guaranteed is fairly guaranteed.
That's right. We hang our hats on good communication, education, and like I said, being advisors, pointing you in the right direction. And I always say, hey, these guys that want to call these online lenders that may save you $500, $1,000, right? I try to educate them on the back end too. Hey, what happens when you close that loan and 2 years from now they talk you into a refinance you shouldn't do?
Or what happens when you're under contract and you can't get a hold of them?
You can't close.
To make
absolutely.
Sure that you can close.
But that's one where I've gotten clients that I've used Quicken their last four loans and we go back and look and I'm like, well, you shouldn't have done all three of those refis that they talked you into because they just wanted the business.
Right.
And that's where we pride ourselves. I talk more people out of refinancing.
Because when you refi, you can pull money out of the property value.
Yeah. And sometimes it makes sense. And there's times it definitely does, but there's also times it doesn't. And lenders just want to get a paycheck and they're trying to talk people into refinancing.
Well, lenders like realtors, cause we're both fraudulent, right?
There's a lot of people breaking the rules. And
lenders,
a lot of
realtors, used car salesmen, right? Like we get paid at closing.
Right.
We get paid when you buy that used car. So yeah, shop around. It is so very, very, very important to do that. Thanks for tuning in to the SevSell Show. We will be right back with Chris Frankmont, Guaranteed Rate, and your host, myself, Seven Murdoch, with the SevSells team. And we are going to pick up where we left off with a Dear Sev. We'll see you shortly. I'm Seven Murdoch with the SevSells Show, exposing the good, the bad, and the ugly in all things real estate right here at KPPF Saturdays at 10 a.m. And don't forget to like and subscribe to us on YouTube at KPPF Radio 1040 a.m., okay? That's very important. Now, picking up where we left off with Chris Frankmont, Guaranteed Rate. He's the guy with the money, so if you're broke, you need some of it, just call Chris. But picking up with Chris on our Dear Sev. All right, so similar to Dear Abby, we have our Dear Sev. Dear Sev, okay, I have to sell my house to buy a new one. Where do I start? And I think that that is such an incredible and honestly profound question, because when it comes to purchasing any property, let alone selling any property, or doing both at the same time, I mean, really, where do you start? Chris?
Yeah, absolutely, Sev. It's a great question. I think the big thing here is just looking ahead and knowing that this is a situation you're going to be in. It's going to give you a lot more flexibility. There are always options when we're doing it at the 11th hour. We have a lot more options.
That's how it usually is right. With a buy sell, right? And that's what we call it. I have to sell my house to buy a new one, right?
Yep, absolutely. So a lot of times we're doing it at the 11th hour. When we're not, one of the first things I tell people is, hey, if you're thinking about that you might need to sell your house and you're going to buy another one, but you're not sure, go and open up a HELOC. Go and open up a HELOC, a home equity line of credit. You can access the equity on your house. The big advantage there is when you go to buy your new house, if you do need a big down payment, you don't have it sitting in savings, you don't have investments you can cash out, but you're able to qualify with both payments. So you don't want to be handcuffed where you need to sell your house before you can buy a new one. That home equity line of credit lets you access equity in your home, draw on it to be able to use as down payment. The minimum payment on most of those HELOCs are interest only. So if you draw $100,000.
What about a bridge loan though?
So what a bridge loan is a HELOC. So it's a great suggestion, Sev. A bridge loan
is it
a HELOC?
Really?
Absolutely.
It's a HELOC?
Uh-huh. It's all
right.
It is.
I've done a lot of transactions.
Right?
I didn't even know that.
No, so it's a different name and a lot of people don't know that, but a bridge loan is the same thing as a HELOC. It's just bridge loans are for the exact purpose of your house on the market about to sell and you haven't sold it yet. So the terms on a bridge loan aren't as favorable because it's already
defined you gotta sell it.
To be such a short-term loan.
There's a contingency.
And that is one of the solutions that we were referring to when we're talking about the 11th hour.
Okay.
You can definitely do a bridge loan, but you're going to get a lot worse terms. If you can see it ahead of time, you can open up a HELOC. Because once you've already...
Could you do a bridge loan and then refi out of that bridge loan and into...
I mean, you, Yes, but why would you? Once you're doing a bridge loan, that means you're about to sell that house. You're going to sell and pay off that bridge loan. A lot of those bridge loans have to be paid off.
Well, I know that there's a lot of bridge loans where it's like, hey, you've got 12 months figured out,
12 months,
buddy.
You got to pay it off. Exactly.
But so that's also relying on equitable return, too, for a lot of them, right?
Yeah. The bridge loan is still tied to equity of the house. It really is a HELOC that's just defined to be short-term. But it puts you, it's a little more stressful, puts you a little more handcuffed.
It's like a rent-a-HELOC.
Yeah, pretty much, right? That's a good one.
And when we say HELOC, that is a home equity line of credit.
Home equity line of credit. You're drawing on the equity against the equity of your house. And so if you can do that beforehand, before you're listing the house and about to sell, it gives you a lot more leverage and freedom to navigate that situation.
But for a HELOC, you can typically only do about an 80-20 loan to ratio, right?
It just depends on the place. So HELOCs are really banks and credit unions. We don't do them. We refer them out. A lot of places cap at 80.
Oh, so you just don't like HELOCs?
But there's, no, this, it's a unique product that really, it's got to be a bank or credit union that does them. So as a correspondent lender, we can sometimes talk about all the boring different mortgage.
But you can still help people shop
around. Absolutely. Connect the dots, shop around, look at terms for them. There's a lot of great places in town that do them. And there's places that'll go up to 95%. I even have one that goes to 100% of the value of
what?
The home. So, yeah.
All right. I need that
info. Yeah. We've got some that
and
will
if
work
you guys need that
properties.
Info, reach out to us at sevsells@sevsells.us via email today. Because that information is
it's pretty
priceless.
Amazing. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Absolutely. So back to our topic. That is the best thing is if you can think ahead and you can open a HELOC, it's going to give you more freedom. If you can't, there are still other options out there. There are some programs now, which I probably shouldn't talk about because we're going to have soon, but there's some programs where entities, companies will actually buy your house from you and resell it.
At like 90% of its value, and then they'll go in and do the work to it.
Yeah, and there's other companies. I probably shouldn't talk about too many of the details. I'm not really supposed to yet.
Okay,
it's
okay,
hush. But there are some companies out there that are buying houses from people essentially, and then we'll just turn around and list it right after, but they're no longer contingent because
like
they did sell the house.
Like Zillow.
It's
Zillow's
like what
been
Zillow's
doing,
doing
that.
For sure.
Except they stopped.
Yeah. And Zillow's doing it for their own profit or gain. These programs are going to be essentially a lender, like a guaranteed rate saying, hey, we'll buy your house. It's not contingent and then sell it right after for you so that you can buy without it. So that's.
Well, I have a company that I actually work with directly and they'll do that.
The
they'll purchase a property for 90% of its appraised value from you, and then if there's any work that needs to be done to this property, they'll go ahead and get it done. They'll work with your realtor of choice to list the property at a full commission, so on and so forth, right?
That's awesome.
It's a really cool program. And then any additional proceeds from that sale, right, because they only bought it for 90% of its 100% appraised value, right, any additional proceeds remaining from that sale, they'll go ahead and they'll cut back to you.
Wow, that's amazing.
And they'll pay out that 6%. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. So
yeah, that's incredible. So programs like that are going to be more and more common.
But it depends on who you are and what your situation is, right?
Absolutely.
This is why you have to shop lenders.
Yeah, there's just a lot of variables. And unfortunately, I think a lot of lenders struggle with connecting the dots on all of those and evaluating the different plans. They kind of find
and
one that works
market,
and run with it.
You got a lot of new lenders that don't know.
That's
just
right.
Like you got a lot of new realtors that don't know. I tell all my clients, shop realtors the same way you shop lenders. 100%. It is incredibly valuable to do.
Yeah, absolutely. You need to find someone you trust and that's going to be a good fit, and especially for scenarios like this where you've got moving parts. You want professionals like yourself, Sev, or like us that are going to come beside you, take that stress off you where you don't need to figure out how to put all these pieces together. We're going to put them together in three different ways for you, talk you through the positives and negatives, and let
totally.
You decide.
So as far as Dear Sev, right, I have to sell my house in order to buy a new one. Where do I start? What you're going to do is you're going to start with your realtor, right? Have them into your property to create a comparative market analysis, a CMA or a BPO, a broker price opinion. That way the lender has some numbers to work off from in order to run accurate numbers for your client, right?
Yeah, that's great advice, Sev. Talk to your realtor, then talk to your lender. Talk to your realtor
totally.
To figure out what your house is worth and what you could potentially rent it for. They should be able to run rent comps for you as well. Those
run
two
all
pieces
the numbers,
of info,
right? Because it might not be worth selling. It
absolutely.
Might be worth keeping, right?
And if you get that info from your realtor and then you call us, we can really help you with looking at those numbers, looking at your different options and piecing together what's possible, where do you qualify? And then if we have a couple things that are possible, well, what are the positives and negatives? what's going to be better short term, what's better
long-term. Absolutely. And if you're commission-based lender and commission-based realtor are telling you to keep it, maybe you should.
It's good advice. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Absolutely, absolutely. Or maybe if you have three people telling you the same thing, you probably know, right?
For sure.
But make sure you give yourself that sound of mind, peace of mind. This is one of, if not the largest financial investment you will ever make in your life. Chris, thank you so much for coming on yet again here.
Thanks, Sev. It's always fun. Always fun.
Yes. And for those of you guys who do not know already, Chris Frankmont, Guaranteed Rate.
That's right. You can call me at 719-337-3021 or jump on my website, www.rate.com/ChrisF.
And if you guys have a Dear Sev for yourself, a question or anything that you want aired, go ahead and reach out to us at sevsells@sevsells.us via email today. I'm your host, Sevin Murdoch, exposing the good, the bad, and the ugly in all things real estate right here at KPPF, Saturdays at 10 a.m.